ask you for the next few moments tonight that you'll use your word, that it will be truth and life and hope and help to all who find it. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we declare it done ahead of time before people even hear it. I call it done in their lives. I declare over this family tonight hope and life and the good things that God has. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. I want to talk to you tonight about it's time, but I'm just going to, and Sunday I'm going to talk about it's time for grace, but tonight I want to talk about it's time for grace, but it's grace for tough times. And the word grace is a manifestation of favor. It's unmerited favor. It's the love of God. It's the kindness of God that you can't earn it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of ourselves." You can't be good enough. You can't do good enough. And it goes on to say, it is God's gift. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says that God is able to make all grace. Everybody say all grace. All grace abound toward you. Now, listen, I want you to hear me just for a moment. Some of you are struggling in life, and you don't change anything. And when you come, and I know Thursday nights I get a little strong, and it's okay. But some of you need to take this in. You'll ask for prayer 100 times. And when the word of God comes to you, you just, you know, it's like watching a television. But this isn't television right now. This is the word of God. Take it in. Write it down. Get your Bible. Make it a plan. Take it in. Amen. Come on tonight. Take it in. Read your Bible. And because the word of God is life. It's a lamp under your feet. It's a light unto your path. The word of the Lord, it'll bring faith into your life to believe God for the impossible. And without it, you can't do anything. With it, come on, you can do all things. 2 Corinthians 9:8, that God is able to make all grace abound to you. All grace. God is able to do that tonight. Titus 2:11, 12, 13, and 14 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation." Hear that? There it is again. There's that phrase in there. It's the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to some, to a few chosen, to all men, to everyone. Verse 12, teaching us, and here's what he's teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly or cognitively awake, alert. We should live soberly. We should live righteously. We should live godly in the present age, right now. I quoted that scripture on Sunday on Romans 8 in the Message Bible that says, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And the Message uses the phrase, he comes and he moves into your life. And when the Spirit of God moves into your life, the spirit of the world, the propensity to do evil and sin, should be moving out of your life. Hello, come on tonight. You got to interact with me tonight here. I need the help tonight, okay? So God gives us grace in tough times, unmerited favor, the kindness of God, the love of God. He gives us a manifestation of favor in the hardest times that we ever face or go through. Job 29, 1 through 7, again in the Message translation, says this way, "Oh, how I long for the good old days when God took such very good care of me, when everything was going my way and nothing seemed to be too difficult." Well, the reality of it is that God takes care of us when we think the days are bad, as well as he does when the days we think are good. He doesn't change. He's the Lord God. He changeth not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the truth is that God was taking care of Job when times were good and when times were difficult. And he takes care of you and I when times are good and when times are difficult. So what do we learn from this? That tough times, they are a fact of life. Tough times are going to come to you and I. John 16:33, he says, "Have I told you these things so that in me you may have peace? In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world." Yeah, in the world that we live in, you're going to have some challenges, but we spend too much time trying to just avoid bad days. And the focus should not be on necessarily just averting bad days, but overcoming difficult and challenging days. And Jesus says this to us. He says, take heart. He says, I have overcome the world. I've overcome them all. God did not fail you, Job, or me when bad things or trouble comes our way, because tough times come to everyone. Jesus said in Matthew 5:45, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. What's he saying there? That good and not so good times comes to everyone. And this, in bad things, when bad times happen, it is not a measure of yours and mine's spirituality. Hear this now. This is very important, because the moment that you and I, somebody goes through a tough time, the carnal nature would lean to think, well, they must be doing something wrong. He wants to get back at them, or something's going on. But it's in the earth that we live, that we've been born into, that has been tainted with sin. Remember the story about Jesus in John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Verse 2 says, Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Look at the carnal nature of the way they think. Was it of his own sins, or was it his parents' sin? Do you see that? Carnal nature. Wanting to lay the blame on something or someone, reading into it more than it is. And Jesus said in verse 3, look at it, was not because of his sins or his parents' sin. Now we know, we don't even know them, but we know that they sinned, right? Right? Is this working? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible says there are none righteous, no, not one. Are you listening to me tonight? All have sinned. He sinned, his parents sinned, his grandparents sinned, you sin, your parents sin, your grandparents sin, your children, your grandchildren will sin. But God does not account that sin against you. He said, neither this happened, he says, so that the power of God could be seen in him. God is looking in humanity to bring glory to himself by displaying his wonders in the earth and through people, by restoring, by healing, by making new and making alive. And I love to hear the story about Chris and how God delivered him. But every one of you has a story in this house tonight. Every single one of you have walked through something. Every one of you have faced it, have gone through it one time or another. And God, you are sitting here tonight to give God all the glory. And when we come into the house of God, we should be excited. We should be anticipating. We should be dialed right in to what is God going to do tonight for somebody? What's he going to do today? How is he going to change somebody's life today? And I believe that with all of my heart. I believe it with everything that is in me. And just because you go through difficult times does not mean that God is not with you. It's not going to be on the screens. But I love the story of the Apostle Paul. He says it so eloquently, and you can write this down and look at it later in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I just begin to read it, and I thought, I gotta just read this. If you have your Bible, if you want to look at it with me, because I'm going to read most of the chapter in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, and I'm reading in the New International, he says, as God's co-workers, did you know you're a co-worker with God? You're on the same team as God's co-workers. We urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time. Everybody say it's time. Come on, say it. It's time. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Oh, amen. Verse 3 says, we put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way in great endurance, in troubles. This is the Apostle Paul, in hardships and distresses. Look at in beatings. I haven't given anybody a good beating in a while. Some of you are doing it. No, I'm just joking. Imprisonments. Look at this. And riots. Jesus, Paul, he's talking gangster right here. In hard work, in sleepless nights, and hunger, and purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love and truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine, yet regarded as imposters, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, but always rejoicing, poor, yet we make many rich, having nothing, yet I possess everything. Man, that's cool. God wasn't against him. I got to read to you another chapter in 2 Corinthians. He goes on. He's having this challenge with some false apostles, and he says in Hebrews 11 around verse 22, he's challenging these that have come. They're eloquent. He says, I'm not eloquent, but I know in whom I have believed. And he says, are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this, and I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison. I'm reading in the New International again, more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. I've been exposed to death again and again. Look at five times, 2 Corinthians 11, 24. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. I always wonder why it was written like that. Why didn't you just say 39? 40 lashes minus one, verse 25. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. He's not a sailor. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger of bandits, in dangers from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored, toil, have gone without sleep. I've known hunger, thirst, have gone without sleep. I've gone without food. I've been cold, naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak? And I do not feel weak. Who is led into sin? And I do not inwardly burn. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Problems, challenges are not a sign of a lack of spirituality. They are a sign that maybe God is with you. Problems are not a measure of your spirituality. So tough times, also, they won't last forever. You know, our life is a blimp on a big screen in eternity's time, a vapor. David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. We have to have a pass-through mentality. Somebody needs to hear that tonight. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, have a pass-through mentality. This thing has not come to stay. Whatever that tough time is, God's grace is sufficient for you. Oh, come on, somebody ought to say amen on that tonight. I'm speaking here better than you're amening me tonight. 2 Corinthians 4:17, look at it. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us a more eternal weight of glory that far outweighs all the troubles, all the junk, all of the issues that you and I could ever face. And he calls it a light and momentary. Man, how many of you know in the middle when you go through something and somebody says, it's just light and momentary, you just want to rise up and just grab them and shake them. No, you don't know what I'm going through. He says, therefore, We do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Verse 17, 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal weight that far awaits them all. Verse 18, so we fix our eyes not on what it is seen. Hear this right now. Hear this now. Someone needs to hear this. We don't fix our eyes on what our carnal eyes can see. He says this, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. But what is unseen, it's eternal. Hey, come on, have you ever just, amen, give God some praise on that. Have you ever just, and you need to do this, be in a time of prayer, just close your eyes. You know, sometimes I do it regularly, daily when I'm praying. And a lot of times I'll have worship music going on in my mind. I'll just, all the stuff, I close my eyes because I don't want to see the issues, the challenges. Doesn't mean they're minimized necessarily, but something happens inside of me. It gives me strength to carry on. I feed my soul on the Word of God, and I begin to see His plan. I begin to see His purpose. I focus not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen, they are temporal, but the things which are unseen, they are eternal. And I fill my heart, I fill my life with that. And I begin to think on the things of God. Here's the next one. Tough times can even be good for some of us. I know you just love this. Maturity can come through our trials. There's a lot to be learned in a tough time. God doesn't create the mess. I've heard people say, well, it must have just been God's will for this one to die or that one to get hurt. It's not God's will. God is a God that brings good. James says, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, from whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Every good gift comes from God. Come on, you need to hear that tonight. Say this with me. Every good gift. Come on, everybody say this. Say, every good gift comes from God. God is not the author of sickness and disease. He's not the author of that. But God will use the trouble to bring glory to His name and to the kingdom. He'll use that. And everyone needs some help and love at that point. Not everybody's got it all together. But when you go through a challenge, when you go through a tough time, if you and I will believe God and trust Him, And not lay it on Him, but say, God, I don't know why this is. I don't understand it, but I know one thing's for sure. You're going to get glory out of this. And I'm telling you what, I have made up my mind. It doesn't matter what. You'll see me. If you're here when I go, you'll see me. You'll see me. I'll worship God to the day I close my eyes. No matter what comes my mind, I will thank Him. I'll give Him prayer. I'm not going to thank Him for the thing that the devil tried to do, but I'm going to thank Him because He is bigger than my trouble. He is bigger than my adversity. He is bigger than my issue. He is bigger than whatever it is that's coming my way. Come on. You need to give the Lord a praise on that. God will use it. 1 Peter 1:7 said, I told you I was going to give you a lot of scripture tonight. Are you staying with me now? Come on, scholars. 1 Peter 1:7, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. Did you know your faith? That's why it's important for you to build yourself up on your most holy faith. That's why it's important. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. I'm not telling you tonight to write scripture down, open up your Bible because I'm some hard taskmaster. No, this is what he says. He says, these have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold. Hear that. Woo! Come on, somebody. Which perishes. Gold perishes. Your faith doesn't. Walk into glory. You're not taking gold with you. Somebody sent me a picture years ago about this guy. He was loaded and he wanted to be buried in a gold Cadillac. And while the crane was lowering him in the ground, somebody said, well, now that's real living right there. No. I saw a picture on Facebook a few weeks ago, had this picture of a mansion and a shack, and then below it, is that this life and then at the end of this life. Rich here and then below it. It had two graves because nobody takes nothing with them. But you know what you can take? You take your faith. You take the works that you've done here. You serve the Lord. God will recognize that. What you give, God keeps an account of. You're not going to take stuff. Can I just divert for just a moment? I was just thinking of this. People that spend their life on themselves have nothing. People that give their lives for others have everything. I would rather give my life away and give my resources to others than to consume it upon myself for what? You know, the Bible says, and I can't think about right where it is now. I didn't plan on it, but he says about the man, he says, I built more barns to keep more stuff in. And then I think it is in the book of James. He says, you fool, this very night, your soul is required of you. Going to consume it all on me? Going to build up my little kingdom for what? You're not going to take it with you. It's going to perish. Gold, which perishes, though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Power of Christ. James 1, 3, and 4. Or you know that when your faith is tested, people don't like this. Your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. I can't take this. No, let it happen. Why is this all happening to me? Because God's growing you. He's developing you. He didn't promise you everything perfect. He didn't promise you that everything was going to be just easy. He said, I'll be with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow, so let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, look at this, you will be what? Say that. Say it. You're not all saying it. When you're tested, you will be what? Complete, needing nada. Nothing. Man, I feel like dancing right now. When times are tough, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, 8, 9, we're hard-pressed on every side. Don't ask me for my notes later. If anybody asks me for them, I'm going to charge you $200 for them. You should be writing. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but we're not abandoned, struck down, but we get back up. We're not destroyed. We got the power of Christ. I got the Holy Spirit living in me and abiding in me. I stand before giants and I say, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would taunt the armies of the living God? You come against me with a sword and a spear. I come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Oh, I'm fired up a little bit right now. So what do we do? Number one, we don't worry. We don't worry. Paul writes in the letter to the church at Philippi, while he's in prison, waiting in trial, and it starts out in Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. Can you believe that? I was in two jails yesterday. No rejoicing going on there. They weren't rejoicing. Here Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Most of us in a difficult situation, we spend our emotional energy on something that we cannot control. We waste our strength. We spend our energy on why it happened, what will happen next. And God is saying in all of that, hey, look at me, redirect your energy, focus on me. He says in Matthew 6:27, who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? No one. Worry is like a rocking chair. You get a lot of movement, you just ain't going nowhere. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You ever worried about something and it never came to pass? Come on, am I the only one that's ever? You worry about something? Come on, I want to see your hand. You ever worry about something? Some of you never worried. Has anybody ever lied here? Put your hand up. Oh, look at the hands going up. Well, I got some honest liars here. Praise the Lord. Number one, don't worry. Number two, pray first. Pray first. Pray first. Philippians 4:6-7. Don't be anxious for nothing. But in everything, what? By prayer, petition, King James says supplication. That word, the word, the vernacular there for prayer is a broader prayer. God, I thank you for what you're doing in our lives and our family. I thank you, Lord, for protecting us, Lord. I thank you for my pastor and his family, his home. I thank you for our church, God. You're doing a great work there. I thank you for changing people, Lord. I thank you. But petition, supplication, is when you're directing and focusing and zeroing right on something you need God to take care of in your life. God, I got this habit. I can't seem to kick it. Lord, I want to smoke pot every other day, and I know I need to. Lord, I just ask you to come into my life and curse that. Take that out of me, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, my mother is sick. She's got this issue or that issue, and I come against that. The blood of Jesus Christ, I pray, has been shed for her healing, and I glorify you, God, that you are more than enough. Petition, supplication, prayer. Paul says, everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Present your requests to God, not on the phone to one another, to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, he'll guard your heart and your minds. How? In Christ Jesus. Come on, you got to pray. You got to focus. You got to pinpoint. Psalm 116, verse 1 and 2. New Living Translation, I love the Lord because he heard my prayers and he answers them. Because look at this, he bends down and listens. I will pray as long as I have breath. I'm just going to sow the seed in it. I'm asking for 25 people that will commit to pray for the needs of the people, not only in the church, the community, but the needs that come in over on our website every single day. I want to ask 25. And I want people to say, oh yeah, I'm going to pray just so you can be seen. I'm not into that. I'm looking for some people that will devote their lives to prayer and petition and supplication unto God every single day. And we're going to see mountains moved out of the way. We're going to see people's families put back together. We're going to see. And yeah, we've been praying to a point, but I just get a little concerned when I call a prayer meeting and half the amount of church shows up. It should be a time where everyone shows up, because I don't know anybody who doesn't have a need or a challenge or something in their life, or know somebody that does have one. Hello, am I talking to anybody tonight? Incidentally, next Thursday is the National Day of Prayer. We shouldn't wait for, and I always get a kick out of it. I sometimes rebel against, Christian holidays. It's the National Day of Prayer. Every day needs to be a day of prayer. Not just one time a year. Every day. I have people calling me, I hope you're praying on that day. I go, are you kidding me? I'm praying every day. How about you? You wait until one time a year to pray? You in trouble, Bubba. Talk to him. Because he bends down. He hears you. He inclines to you. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Number three, check your attitude. Make sure your attitude in the middle of your challenge, your trouble, stays strong. In the middle of a bad time, a bad day, sometimes we have this propensity just to lose it. Am I the only one here that's ever lost it? I mean, we lose it. And this is how we take care of that. Philippians 4:8. New International again. Finally, brothers, what is ever true, what's ever noble, what is ever right, what is ever pure, what is ever lovely, what's admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, what's it say? Think on these things. Focus on these things. Push all the junk back out and focus on the good, what's noble, what's right, what's pure, what's good. God is good. He is able to do what we can't do. check our attitude. Come on, somebody say, help me, Lord. 2 Corinthians 6:10, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. I love how he said that. I'm poor, but I make others rich. Having nothing, but I got everything. That is an oxymoron in this world, if I ever heard it. I'm poor, but I help others to get rich. That's not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world says, me first. Spirit of the world says, I'm going to take care of me. Having nothing, yet I got it all. I got everything. How do you get there? You by sowing your life away. You're going through struggle. If you're going through a struggle, let me ask you, if you're sick, you need to pray for somebody that's sick. If you're depressed, you need to go pray for somebody else that is. If you're going through a relational breakup, you pray for somebody else that's going through a relational breakup. I'm telling you, your life will change. Well, I learned this lesson, 30 years ago. Man, I was going through something and I had to go visit somebody in the hospital. I didn't want to go. My heart wasn't right. My attitude stunk. And I'll never forget, it was a kid, a child. And as I'm walking through that ward, it was in Buffalo, I'm walking down through it, I see all these kids on both sides. Man, they got tubes running on them. Their heads are bald from, you know, whatever disease they're facing. They got broken bones. They're in wheelchairs. My gosh, I went and I prayed for that. I walked out of the place. I repented. I said, God, please forgive me. And my life was changed because I sowed in to others in the midst of my lack and my struggle. And I didn't even know it was a gift of God. Number four, be content with what you have. Look around. Our worst day is better than the majority on this planet. Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether I'm well fed or whether I'm hungry, whether I'm living in plenty or I'm living in want. We're having a little missions meeting tonight talking about the trip to Ireland. Somebody brought up, how many times a day we're going to eat? I don't know. The first time I went on a missions trip, it stunk so bad where we went. I had to struggle by not vomiting every day. And that was a time in my life where I learned to fast on demand. Hey, whether we're well fed or we're hungry, God is still good. Whether we got a lot or we got a little, God is still good. Whether we're healthy or sick, He's still God. Come on today. He is still the Lord, our God. Appreciate where you are. Appreciate what you have. Love the people that are around you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks for everything in all circumstances, for this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. You don't give thanks for your sickness or your challenge or, you know, whatever it is, but in it, not for it. Get that straight. Not for it. I don't thank God, you know, when I go through. I didn't thank God when I landed in the hospital in December. Oh, Lord, I thank you for this pulmonary embolism that took me out of my family in my church during Christmas time. God, I just thank you. No, I didn't thank God. I thanked him in the middle of the Lord. I know that you are able to do exceedingly abundantly. I thank you, God, that by your stripes I am healed. I thank you, Lord, that I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me and gave himself up for me. Though the evil one comes against me in one way, Lord, your word says he'll flee from me in seven different ways. God, I thank you in the middle of it that you're Lord God of all. You are the Lord of hosts. Come on, I'm preaching here tonight and you don't even know it. Come on, we give thanks in the middle of it, not for it. Number five, I think this is it. I may just keep on going for a while, though. I feel good tonight. Stay close to God. Why is it when people go through a hard time that they begin to reject God? Oh, God, if you love me. He loves you. He cares for you. You stay close to him. You know, when my kids were growing up, I did the unpardonable thing. I know this is bad. Don't judge me for it. But if they got out of line, I applied discipline to them the old-fashioned way. You know, they wouldn't run from me because they knew if they ran, they got to come back home. And when they came back home, we'd just start over again. But you know what they learned? When they got a little, smarts in it, they'd just get closer and they'd hug me. And man, when they hugged me, I just felt like butter. I just, something happened in me and it just changed everything. And you know what else I'd do? When my kids, when they were disciplined, I'd always make them hug me and tell me that they love me. Don't get upset at God when you go through a tough time. His grace is more than enough for you. I'll close with a scripture, Nahum chapter 1, verse 7, reading out of the Message Bible again. God is good. He is a hiding place in tough times. You'll want to write this scripture down. He is a hiding place in tough times. He recognizes and welcomes anyone looking for help. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, I love this. No matter how desperate the trouble, he welcomes you looking for help tonight. Close your eyes right now where you're at. Hallelujah. Maybe some are in the middle of it right now. Maybe you're not here. Maybe you're listening to it online later. You're in the middle of a tough time. It's a dark day. Don't run from him. He is good. He's a hiding place in tough times. He recognizes in anyone, welcomes anyone looking for help, no matter how desperate the trouble. God, you're so good to us. We exalt you tonight, God. We exalt you tonight. Work every issue, every situation. I pray you'll heal sick bodies. You'll restore people's minds, God, that have been taken down a dark path where the enemy has tried to come in and bring evil and defeat. Lord, I ask you that you would lift my brothers and my sisters up. Then in all things, God, you'd let them know they're more than conquerors. I declare over this house tonight and the inhabitants thereof for great grace to be upon every life here. No evil to have control or victory in any area. And for that, God, we give you all the thanks and all the praise for it in Jesus' name. Come on. Amen. I love you a lot. You love the Lord tonight? Well, man, I know I had it rough. We've had all these great preachers here on a Thursday night. I'm thinking, what am I going to say? So I appreciate you just lending me a little of your attention tonight while I struggled through this word here for the last 30 minutes. I'm just messing with you.